You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My boy Shay Shay's in the house. He looks right. He looks ready to roll. I got Molly to my left. And this brother, Top Gun, J.J. Redick, the NBA color analyst extraordinaire, and the brother with the new podcast, With the King. I mean, that's what you call LeBron James. That's what you do, Shay Shay, right? Well, look at this man right here. I suppose we gonna be schooled on the game of basketball today, supposedly.
But it's me sitting across from JJ. I would have to be cooperative in order for that to be happen. And we know I ain't doing that. First Take's in the house. Let's roll.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. already did the pleasantries. Good to see you guys. JJ, haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
And, I mean, could you get more jobs? So the new podcast, Stephen A. mentioned it, with LeBron James, Mind the Game Pod. Yeah. Tell us what we can expect, because it's obviously two incredible basketball minds to have LeBron and yourself together.
It is a show about basketball, and we'll cover all aspects of basketball. But there's a lot of X and O breakdown. This is really for the fans. It's for casual fans. It's for the hoop nerds like myself. It's for everybody.
How often are we go?
It'll be on every week. Okay. It'll be on every week. Okay. We've recorded two episodes. First episode's out this morning. It's live on all platforms. YouTube, Mind the Game Podcast.
I have one question. You don't have to answer if you don't want it. Whose idea was it?
I'm not answering that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Shannon. Shannon, what you think, bro?
Congratulations. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, for the people that just want to get the inside, the intricacies, it's like it's really hard to like JJ and myself to come on the show and to get to the intricacies of it. And I'm trying to describe a 22, or I'm trying to describe six kick. Now you get an opportunity to say, okay, they're playing half the field over here, they're playing quarter of the field over here, but when they're playing half the field, the corner's going to kick it, which means he's going to press and then bail. We don't have time to explain that on a show like this, but in that format, in a digital format, it'll be very, very easy to do. So congratulations, JJ, and Goat James. Ain't no king. Goat James, Stephen A.
Whatever.
Goat. You're still going to have Old Man of the Three?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Old Man of the Three.
The only thing I want to say about it is this. It's similar when you've got somebody like Shannon with Ocho Cinco talking football with Nightcap. When you've got LeBron James and JJ, what I've often brought up is the level of expertise that you guys bring, and what you teach the audience is so incredibly important. We're scribes. As a reporter, we go out there, we cover the team, we go by what you tell us, what we're watching, what players, coaches, executives, et cetera, educate us about. But you guys communicating with each other and bringing that to the table is something people in my position and beyond should always, always appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of you, my brother.
Thanks,
looking
man.
Forward
I'm proud.
To it.
Thank
I just had Tatiana forward me the first episode, so I'll check it out. I'll be giving you
notes. It's not going to stop me from critiquing that. You do not.
I would expect nothing less. I would expect nothing less.
All right, I got something for you to critique. Take a look at this. All eyes on Anthony Edwards, who threw down a monster slam over John Collins in the T-Wolves 114-104 victory over Utah. Here's Ant-Man reacting to a replay of his amazing poster slam.
Talk us through what happened on that dunk. Here we go.
Ah! Oh my God. Hey, that's my best dunk of my career, I'm not gonna lie. That's
Who needs the dunk contest? Shannon, how nasty was that?
It was a great dunk, but I thought the one that he went baseline against Toronto, and I think he drew an offensive foul on that one, I thought that was his best dunk. But when you take Ant-Man, you can see the freaky athleticism on full display. He doesn't even he's a two-foot. Look, I thought this one, I think they called a charge on him because the elbow caught the guy in the face. But he has that kind of ability to embarrass anyone because he has elevators. And so for me, it was an outstanding dunk. He doesn't put the ball on the floor, but that's what makes him so intriguing. That's what makes him like, yeah, he can easily be, because that's not all he can do. You know, people think, well, he has that kind of athleticism. All he does is dunk. No, he has a tremendous mid-range game. He can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim, and he's getting better at shooting the three. Yes, he is sensational. That was an outstanding dunk, and he was so high up and so far away, he couldn't, like, extend and put his fingertips over the rim. He was so high up, he had to throw the ball down into the rim. It was an outstanding play for an outstanding young man.
Spectacular, no doubt about it. I loved it. I love seeing it. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to have a discussion at some point about the best in-game dunker, because I think about, when I think about Anthony Edwards, I think about Vince Carter.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, people don't realize in-game dunker how spectacular Vince Carter was. It was something special to behold. Of course, we thought about MJ. We thought about Kobe. But when it came to actual, the category of in-game dunker, you look at Vince Carter and you say, man, it's hard to find anybody. Sean Kemp was another one. Sean Kemp, no question. Sean Kemp, without question. I mean, that's one of the all-timers when he rocked the baby against Denver.
Chris
Gatlin. No doubt about it. But Anthony Edwards is going to be talked about in that light he's being talked about it already. He's that spectacular in my estimation, and he's got game to go with it. I love it.
Incredible dunk. And Shannon, I'm with you. I actually like the Watanabe dunk better on the baseline. So many things I loved about this. First of all, he dunked the ball so hard that he hurt his finger on his other hand. Then he's walking off the court. There's a video of him walking off the court, and he's signing autographs. He's giving away towels. He's giving away his wristband. And a kid asks him, can I get your jersey? And he says, no, I'm going to give that to John Collins. So, look, this is what makes him such an intriguing basketball player. It's because of his personality.
Yes.
And I would say this, too. Let's not get lost in the sauce with Anthony Edwards' highlights. This is a legitimate all-NBA player right now. He's averaging 27-5-5 on one of the best teams in the NBA. He's improved as a passer. He's improved as a three-point shooter. He's got a bright, bright future.
Stephen A., is he the next face of the NBA?
He is. He's mine. I'll say that. I mean, I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I love Luka. I love so many of these guys. But Anthony Edwards is my guy. That's the guy I'm looking at right now. He's a human highlight reel. Plus, I love, like JJ pointed out, his moxie, his attitude, interviewing him, talking to him, watching him play. It's something special to behold. And then when you hear the kind of things that he says, fellas, where he don't want to sit down. He don't want to sit out. He's young. He wants to play. Obviously, as he gets older, obviously, we anticipate that will change, and it should change. But just that kind of mentality that you're infusing in today's culture at a time when so many people, rightly or wrongly, JJ, are lamenting, load management and all of this other stuff. You don't hear about that with him. He doesn't want to be talked about in that light. If you are healthy enough, go out there and play. And by the way, when you go out there and play, strive to perform to the best of your ability. You want to be the marquee, then accept the responsibility of being a marquee. Embrace it and go for it. Don't sit up there and shove it to the side. These are the kind of things that he's doing. And Minnesota being as good as they are, with him averaging, like you said, 27-5-5, I just look at him right now and I see nothing but spectacular in his future, and I love it. And then he talks and he got somebody like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that he's rivaling when they're talking back at one another, because we all know SGA can ball. I just love what I'm seeing. He's my face. He's my next face of the NBA.
I think he's got as good of a chance as any American player to be the face of the NBA. I'd throw Tatum in that mix, too.
So would I.
And you can certainly throw Shai in that mix. Wemby, for sure, has a chance to be the face of the NBA. And it's interesting, when you think about the Western Conference right now, and Denver, the reigning champs, you've got the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry and LeBron James, potentially missing the playoffs this year. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for guys like Shai. There's an opportunity for guys like Anthony Edwards. There's certainly an opportunity for Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. Their position, along with the Denver Nuggets, to potentially have a long runway here of winning. OKC, by the way, my head of production over at 342, Jason Gallagher, always says, it feels like they're building the Death Star and no one's talking about it. This is a team one of the youngest teams in the NBA, right at the top of the Western Conference, and they have a treasure trove of assets for the future. They can make moves. There's flexibility with their roster. There's a chance OKC also has this long runway, which is a good thing for Shea. The thing I want to say about the face of the NBA, though, is when you think about who has been the face of the NBA in the modern NBA, it has been Larry and Magic, Michael Jordan, Kobe, Steph, LeBron. You're talking about an extended period of sustained success. You're talking about competitive stamina at the highest level. The face of the NBA has no tenure. I'm going to say that again. The face of the NBA has no tenure because the second you get it, somebody's coming after it, which is why guys like Kobe, which is why guys like LeBron, MJ, Magic, Larry, all of these guys that have been the face of the NBA over the last 40-plus years, they've had that element of competitive stamina. The next guy, he's going to have that element too.
To piggyback what you said, JJ, is that you look at the guys. Golden State might miss the playoffs, and then the play-in, they could easily lose. The Lakers, same thing. The Suns with Kevin Durant. So now this is a golden opportunity for Jason Tatum, for Shea Gilgeous, for Ant-Man to say, you know what, hey, the guys that we normally think would be the face of the NBA or that's been the face of the NBA, if they've only had it for a year, they're not here. And you know, hey, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So now it's our time to shine. I will say this about Ant-Man. The one thing that he's going to have to do, he's going to have to get more serious. You can't go to the NBA and say, you can't go to the NBA All-Star game and say, I'm a horse around and I'm going to shoot a shot with my left hand. Because if you go back and look at those guys, they took it serious. And I think he's going to have to get a little bit more serious. Now, I will say he is, what, 21, 22 years 22. Of age?
22.
22 years of age. But there, look, we understand that you have to be a grown man now because a lot is expected of you. And the childish game and the joking around that you normally do, Kobe ain't never joke around. Did we ever see Kobe joke? Kobe was business all the time. Magic might have had a smile on his face, but he was all business. And Larry, we don't even go to say about Larry, because you know Larry was no BS. And LeBron, I just think there are certain situations that Ant-Man's going to have to take a little bit more serious than what he's taking now. But he has all the ability. He has the charisma. He has the game to say, yes, I want to be the face of the NBA. I'm ready to be the face of the NBA. It's my time. So he has the game. He has the charisma. But I think he's going to have to take things a little bit more serious.
Go ahead. I agree with you on the All-Star thing. And we talked about coming out of All-Star break. And I think it was a little bit of a wasted opportunity for him.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I remember when he was coming out of Georgia, there were questions about his competitiveness. I think that he had a quote that said, I don't really love basketball. And it's very clear after, now 3.5 years in the NBA, this guy loves basketball.
Yes, it is.
And so I agree with you on the All-Star thing. But here's the thing. The chase down block to save the win Indiana. Against the Indiana Pacers, that showed me he's got a level of competitiveness. And Shannon, I'm going to disagree with you on one point, and that's just that we have to compare every face of the NBA to a Kobe or Michael. They've all been a little bit different. The commonality, because Steph Curry played with a smile on his face, Magic Johnson played with a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. The commonality in all of this is that they've won at the highest level, mm-hmm. and they are cold-blooded killers. Steph Curry is a cold-blooded killer.
Let me clap back at you in this respect. I get what you're saying when you talk about specific names, but I also think it's incredibly important that there's a standard. I remember watching you in the press conference. You were just joking around. But you were being interviewed, and they was talking about, I think it was when Zion first arrived, and you was talking about, you've been in 12 straight, you've been in playoffs at the time.
13
straight years. Yeah. You're like this, don't F this up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it was joking. What I'm saying to you is this, there's a standard.
Was I joking?
Well, you might not have, fair point. But whether it's you, whether it's Shannon, whether it's anybody else, what we're talking about is reference points. You know, and there's nothing wrong with reference points. And so what happens is we might throw out Kobe, we might throw out MJ. When LeBron steps away, guess what? We're going to be mentioning him just as much as we mentioned those other guys. Because what happens is that it wasn't just his greatness. It was a standard that he answered for each and every single night on a consistent basis over the course of his career. This is when we say, when we look at a LeBron and a Kobe and others, and we say, we will miss them when they're gone. In Kobe's case, obviously, God rest his soul. But we're thinking about these great, great players. What we're saying is, you accepted the marquee. You embraced it. And you answered the call. So somebody that's coming up, they got to remember that if they want that, they got to answer the call. If you want to be mentioned in the same breath or, similarity with those names and others, you got to remember why. It wasn't just their greatness. It was their commitment to being great. That's what we're talking about. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I was just talking about the personality more so. Shannon, I agree with both of you on that commitment. Right. And that's what I said about the competitive stamina piece, is just being able to do it over and over again. It's not having one first-team All-NBA season.
Right.
It's having nine in a row.
JJ, what I was saying is the standard is the standard. And that can not just the chase down. See, I understand. But see, because the All-Star game, it doesn't go on your win-loss record. Yeah, it's nice. I won eight of these. But in a game, I expect them to do that. But those guys played that way in an All-Star game when it didn't have no meaning. It wasn't home court on the line. It wasn't this on the line. It was a game in that we go out there and play. The standard is the standard. I don't ever want you to think. I was having a conversation with, and it's a different sport, with Coach Prime. And he said the reason why I ain't let guys catch passes on me at the Pro Bowl, he said, because I didn't want them to think they could come back to the mainland and catch passes on me. I wasn't giving them an inch. I'm running routes. I'm trying to get open because I don't ever want you to think you can cover me in any situation. And so I think that's the mindset that guys have. You look at those guys, they say, I don't want you to think just because this is an All-Star game and this is really for the fans that you can deal, that you can D me up, that you can deal with me, because you can't. So I just think subliminally you try to send those messages regardless of the situation. Practice, pick up, open run, it does not matter. I'm letting you know I'm Ant-Man, I'm the face, and here's why.
Yep, fair point.
All right, we'll keep it rolling here. More NBA to dive into. Let's head to the Bay, guys. Brunson and the Knicks picked up a win over Steph and the Warriors. 119-112. Stephen A's squad won without OG Anunoby, who was out due to his elbow flaring up. Miles McBride started in place and dropped a career-high 29 points in 46 minutes. So, Stephen A, here's what I need to know.
Yes.
If the Knicks get healthy with OG and Julius Randle, are they the biggest threats to the Celtics?
I believe so. I believe so, JJ.
Oh, my God.
I believe so, JJ. Listen, man. Look at your Shannon. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's the truth, Shannon. Let me tell you something right now, okay? If the New York Knicks get healthy, I believe they are the number one threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. I think they're going to the conference finals. Now, obviously, that's a lot to ask. Julius Randle separated shoulder. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy, man. I was so depressed when he got hurt because I said, damn, listen, they 14 games over 500 right now. They'd be at least 20 games over 500 if Julius Randle had never gotten hurt, okay? They went on no damn slump. Don't get me started with OG Anunoby and how efficient they have been defensively, JJ. You know all of this stuff. You've got the numbers. Mitchell Robinson, if you had that big body, a rebound, and a shot blocker, the defense is already elite without him. Imagine what they would have been with them. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I love the pickups of Burks, Achiuwa, and obviously Bogdanovich. I'm looking at the New York Knicks right now, and let me tell y'all something right now. Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies. If the New York Knicks get healthy, they go into the conference finals. That means Milwaukee gets bounced out. That means I want Miami again. I want a second shot at Miami. This ain't last year. It's a different New York Knicks team. You're lucky they got hurt. You're lucky they got hurt because they would be destined for the conference finals. That's what I'm saying. But obviously, they're not healthy, and that's my malady right now. It's not good. It's like a black cat running around, but it's okay. It's okay.
You just did all of that. Man, if they get healthy, let me tell you what's going to happen. I want a rematch with the Miami Heat. You just did all that and talk about they're not healthy, so it's not going to happen.
They're not healthy, man. They're not healthy, man. I can dream. They saying they might come back, Shannon. They saying they might come back. I'm like, I'm holding out hope.
Okay, so before the guys jump in, so who's the biggest threat then if it's not them?
It's the Knicks. I'm sticking with the Knicks.
Okay, I just thought you said
whatever. I'm going to Milwaukee Bucks. I saw what Milwaukee did without Giannis to the Phoenix Suns on Sunday, and I just think Dame is starting to find his way. They just need to understand that, hey, late in the ball game, hey, we're going to put Giannis at the five. We're going to put Portis at the four. But guess what? Dame Lillard's going to have the ball in his hands exclusively, and I'm going to trust him. Either make a play, either shoot it, or you find Giannis in the pick and roll. Whatever you choose, Dame, I'm going to live with that. I still believe the Milwaukee Bucks are the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics because they have two guys that can take the game over and go give me 50. I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Stephen, I just want to point out to you real quick that as it currently stands today, the Knicks have the 4 seed, and they're 2 games back in the loss column of the 3 seed.
I'm looking at the standings.
Okay.
I'm aware.
Which means they would play likely Boston in the first round. In the second round.
I understand.
So
I know the second round. Okay. I was hoping that they would move up, third or second.
And I also want to point out.
So they could not avoid Boston until the conference finals, JJ.
Why do you have to let the facts get in the way of a good story, JJ?
I also want to point out. Sorry.
He loves messing with me, man. They're trying to rain on my parade.
Man.
That's what they're trying to do.
I also want to point out something real quick. And that is they're currently slated to play the Orlando Magic, who are no slouch. Jamal Mosley should be in the running for Coach of the Year.
They've got
two of the best young wings in the NBA. Jalen Suggs has figured his 3-ball out. Nice. He's got a chance to make an all-defensive team. Don't sleep on the Orlando Magic as a very tough playoff matchup for any team in the East.
I respect the Orlando Magic. Mosley is a candidate for Coach of the Year. I'm not sleeping. I'm snoring.
Okay.
The Knicks will take them out.
But I want to say one thing. I want to say one thing to answer the question.
Go ahead.
To answer the question. I like saying if they're healthy. So far, we haven't seen them healthy as a full unit, right? My concern is that we're running out of time here to build a rhythm. That's my concern. It's the same thing. Look, it's the same thing with Joel Embiid coming back. If Joel Embiid is back for the 76ers and he's in a rhythm and he's healthy, they're a contender. All right, they're 26-8 when he plays this year. Right now, for me, the biggest threat to the Celtics is the Milwaukee Bucks. And truthfully, if everybody's healthy across the board in the East, they're probably still the biggest threat to me. Mm-hmm. They have two of the best players in the NBA. Giannis is having an MVP-level season. Historic, 30-10-5, over 60% from the field. One guy in NBA history has done that. All right? Damian Lillard, Shannon said this, since the All-Star break, shooting over 40% from three, he's figured that out. They've figured out the dynamic of Giannis and Dame in the two-man game. They are spamming that pick and roll over and over again. If you look at that partnership and that duo, they have run more Giannis-Dame pick and rolls per game since the All-Star break. Doc Rivers has figured that out. Everybody's embraced that. Across the board, they're shooting better. The Milwaukee Bucks are the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the East.
Okay.
And if Cleveland, now, if Donovan Mitchell and Garland and those two bigs, I think they could cause some problems because we know Donovan. Donovan can go off and go get you 50. Garland can give you 30. And those two bigs can cause you problems. But I'm still going with, because I've seen Giannis in the playoffs, I've seen him take games over. We know Dame can take the game over. We've seen Dame go get 50 in back-to-back games, and he's shooting the 3-ball as well as anybody. And as you said, JJ, the pick and roll is as good as anybody doing the pick and roll, probably outside of Denver with Jokic and Murray and the dribble handoff in the pick and roll. But I like the Milwaukee Bucks, and Boston better be on their best behavior. Jason Tatum needs to rise and shine every single game, because if they don't, you mess around and let Milwaukee steal one of these games. Oh, now you got something on your hands.
So you get to say if. You get to say if Donovan Mitchell. You get to say if Derrick Rose. But I can't do that. I can't do that, though. You know, you two. This is what the season's going to be. Because I can understand. I can see it flowing right now. Both of y'all. JJ going to be messing with me all year long. He's going to be dropping in the snide remarks when he can't try to needle away at me. I can see it right now. Doris Burke and Breen teasing me, too, because of the Knicks. But the Knicks will answer the call. They're only 2 games back at Cleveland. They're only 3 games back at Milwaukee. I understand they probably ain't going to get a top 2 seed, but I'm not giving up on that top 3 seed so you can avoid Boston until the conference finals. And I believe if the New York Knicks are healthy. That defense will answer the call, and what you're seeing from those dudes ain't going to necessarily resonate come playoff time, okay? Because this defense is going to answer the call.
What? I remember Boston play with Ime. He said, we're going to play. Well, what about avoiding the Nets? He said, we believe who we think we are. We don't give a D about the Nets. And what did they do, Stephen A., in the first round?
Yeah.
Swept them.
You thought it was a Mad Dog.
So if you are what you believe you are, I ain't ducking nobody. Why are you ducking till I wait till the conference final? I want to see them.
I'm not ducking anybody. I'm just saying I think that's the only team in the Eastern Conference that would beat the Knicks. That would beat a healthy Knicks team. I think a healthy Knicks team takes out anyone else in the East. That is what I believe. That's what I believe.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. Y'all gonna regret this. I'm telling you right now. And let me be honest.
Are they gonna be healthy, though?
We want Miami.
That's the question.
I get it. And by the way,
I agree to the extent if they're full, whole, healthy, in rhythm, they have a chance to get to the conference finals, 100%.
You make sure you say that next time because you didn't say that until I just said it. I need to make sure you
don't believe it.
I've been saying this since they made the OG Anunoby trade.
I've been saying it since the trade.
They are that good. If they're not healthy.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Hey, JJ, how about this here? If they're 100% healthy, are you taking them to be? Would you take them over the Bucks to deal with the Celtics?
No. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that earlier. Right now, I would take the Bucks over the Knicks if both teams are healthy. I was trying to make that clear earlier, but
you filibustered. No, tail end, you got an extra 2 minutes of talk time in saying some jibber jabbers. Oh, if they this, I said this and I said that. No, your original statement was the Milwaukee Bucks. So all that other stuff with standing, no, we good. Okay, throw it to break. Throw it to you, Molly.
You go to break. You throw it to break, Hall of Famer. HOFer, you go. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Oh, look who's here. My guy, the one and only Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, you know what this means. Draft is approaching. And I am here for all of it. So good to have you with us. Let's dive right in here. Okay, so Mel's got his mock draft 3.0, which was just released on ESPN.com this morning. Fresh access, folks. He's got 5 quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks. No surprises at the top. Williams, Daniels, and Drake May going 1, 2, and 3. Former Heisman winner, current ESPN analyst RG3 had some advice for Caleb if he were to go number 1 overall to Chicago. Listen up.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interests at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go.
Strong take, pulling Eli Manning. Let's not forget he had Archie and Peyton. Mel, how should Caleb feel about potentially being drafted to the Bears?
Happy. You're in the NFC. You're not in the AFC with all those other great quarterbacks. You're going with a team with Ryan Poles. Jim's going to do the things necessary to build that talent base around the quarterback, which he has started to do. They had the 9th pick. They can maybe trade down, recoup that second round pick they lost for Montez Sweat. Remember, Ryan Poles was the director of college scouting in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. We always saw some Patrick Mahomes in Caleb Williams. That's why this pick makes so much sense. So, no, I think Caleb will be happy. I will agree with RG3. This was a gift to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a gift. And Shannon knows I'm in Baltimore, here with the crab cakes and Land of Pleasant Living. And the last thing we want to see is Justin Fields and the Baltimore and a Baltimore Ravens division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was a gift. They should have kept Justin Fields. They should have let it play out. Troy Aikman was there. They drafted Steve Walsh, let it play out, and then traded Walsh for a 1, 2, and a 3. So to me, I wouldn't have given him away to the Steelers, but I agree with the number one overall pick, certainly being Caleb Williams. And that's where he should want to play, and I think he will thrive there in that division with the Chicago Bears.
But plus, the Bears have already done a great job. They got DJ Moore last year. They traded for Keenan Allen. They got Everett, a pass-catching tight end from the Rams. DeAndre Swift, they got him from the Eagles. Now, for me, Mel, you said trade down and try to recruit that second. I'm moving up to try to get the tackle out of Notre Dame because I want to have protection for my money. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. You got to have guards to protect it. And so the most valuable asset that you have now is Caleb Williams. So if I'm them, I'm going to move up to make sure I try to get the big tackle out of Notre Dame because I've gotten skill positions and I can go get a third. I can get another receiver later in the draft, maybe third or fourth round. But I got nice skill positions with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Everett at tight end, pass catching tight ends. I like what they've done so far, but now they've got to get somebody to protect Caleb Williams.
Well, let me chime in here before I ask the next question by saying this. I totally disagree with RG3. I think he's totally wrong on this.
For sure.
In this particular situation, because I think that obviously it's a new regime. I knew Eberflus is still there, but Ryan Poles taking over. It's no longer Ryan Pace there. It's Ryan Poles. And obviously you're moving in a different direction. Give them an opportunity. And like you said, Shannon, there is some talent on there. So I certainly wouldn't go to Eli Manning, right, if I'm Caleb Williams. I will ask you this question though, Mel. Are you certain the number one overall pick is going to be Caleb Williams? Because we've been hearing the Dan Orlovskys of the world and others talking about Jaden Daniels out of LSU. And so are you sure? Is that definitely going to be the number one overall pick?
I think 1,000% it's going to be Caleb, and I think it should be Caleb. In 2022, he was spectacular. He fell off this year. Remember, the Notre Dame game started. He was really good up till Notre Dame game, and they had a bad offensive line. Remember, Andrew Voorhees was the great player on that line, drafted by the Baltimore Ravens in the 7th round. Why? Because he had the injury. Combine had a medically redshirt. He's going to start on that Raven offensive line this year, right? Jordan Addison is number one receiver. He didn't have him. So Caleb Williams will be the number one pick overall to the Chicago Bears. To Shannon's point about the O-line, I think they're okay. There. They, think about right, they drafted at right tackle. You got Jones, you got the interior, they added some pieces at center. They can find a guard down the line. Get that second round pick back, move down, and then look at that pass rusher opposite Montez Sweat. Jared Verse at 9 might be a little high. They move down. They can look at him. They can look at Leatu Latu from UCLA, Chop Robinson, Penn State, by moving down and recouping that second-round draft choice. And then looking, as you say, Shannon, to the offensive line, the interior, maybe in that third, fourth, fifth-round area where there's some depth at that guard spot.
All right, Mel, you know I'm going to make this about me. I want the Giants to draft a quarterback. As we mentioned earlier, 5 quarterbacks in the top 12, but no Michael Penix Jr. in the first round. A lot of people raved about his combine performance. Why is he not projected to go in that first round?
Well, it's a second-round grade. Is the injuries really mild? He had four different injuries. He's about the shoulder, the knee, and then the performance in the national title game, off-platform throws. He's not as effective as some of these other quarterbacks. Obviously, second round, Will Levis last year had a high grade on Will. He went in this early second round. Michael Penix Jr., of course, Will had that injury banged up in Kentucky with that bad offensive line. Michael Penix Jr. at Indiana, those injuries we talked about. But then, two outstanding years for the Washington Huskies with great talent around them. Being a second-round pick, nothing wrong with that if he does go in round two or to somebody trading back into the first. It's hard to find a team in that mid to late first that is desperate for a quarterback, but somebody could trade back in and land Michael Penix Jr. If, say, a Bo Nix goes to Denver, if Sean Payton sees a little Drew Brees in Bo Nix and takes him at 12 like I'm projecting right now. So Michael Penix Jr. right now could be a late one, early to mid two.
I'm just getting ready to ask you that, Mel. When I'm looking at Caleb, you're looking at, you just brought up Penix Jr., you hear the name J.J. McCarthy, you hear others. Who are legitimate first-round picks at the quarterback spot? Because there's like 10 different quarterbacks.
Great question,
because
they're usually, yeah, they're overdrafted usually, and that's what you got to trust your ratings in. And you'll overdraft if you rank the guys. I have J.J. at that 21-23 spot. Top 10's overdrafting. Bo Nix, same thing. But that's what happens. What you got to guard against is the E.J. Manuel. You go to, you know, Jake Locker, or you go to Christian Ponder. So you, when you grade players, that's what you protect. And Daniel Jones at 6. I didn't have him that high. So you protect against overdrafting, even though I like Daniel Jones. So I think when you look at it, if you rank the players for a reason, you spend all the time doing it, it protects you from doing exactly that, taking a quarterback way too high. In the case of the top three, I don't think they will. In terms of McCarthy, I think he will be a little overdrafted. Certainly Bo Nix a little overdrafted as well.
Mel, I said something that came to my mind. So we've been talking a lot this week, obviously, about Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta and then what's happening with the Steelers. Stephen A., a big Steelers fan, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields there. So Justin Fields right now, arguably a backup. I'm just curious, where does he rank among these top quarterbacks?
Could have been right in there behind Caleb. I mean, Justin Fields, I think, can beat out Russell Wilson. I think he can work in unison with Russell. If Russell can recreate the glory days in Seattle, you can still work Justin in with packages to keep those defensive coordinators figuring it out all week. They got to have a lot of sleepless nights with Russell and then Justin. So you can do that. Where you couldn't do it with Kenny Pickett, you can do it with Justin Fields. Justin Fields should be a Chicago Bear. This notion you can't have two young quarterbacks, give me a break. They had Aikman. They brought in Steve Walsh. How'd that work out? Pretty all going good because they traded Walsh and got like a 1, 2, and 3. They had Alex Smith. They drafted Mahomes. That worked out pretty doggone good too because Alex Smith wasn't happy when they drafted Mahomes, but he was professionally dealt with it like we talked about, right? Have those two would have been fine. Then if Justin's the guy, you can trade Caleb. If Justin's not the guy, what have you lost? You gave him away for a 6 that could become a 4. That's a giveaway. But in Pittsburgh, guys, this is a home run, a grand slam to have Justin Fields at age 25 with Russell Wilson at age 35. It's a win-win for the Pittsburgh Steelers and horrible for the Bengals, the Browns, and our Baltimore Ravens.
I agree with everything you said because we got, but potentially the Pittsburgh Steelers got their quarterback for 2024 and they have their quarterback on their roster for 2025 and beyond. But I like the fact what you said, Mel. If I'm Justin Fields, I'm coming in there. I'm coming in there to compete. You're gonna have to say, no, son, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. Because when I go out there to practice, I'm going to light that defense up. When I'm on scout team, I'm going to light the defense up. I'm going to make it virtually impossible for you not to get me some reps during the course of the game. Because Justin Fields could be a younger version of Russell Wilson. His legs are more dynamic than Russell Wilson's legs were when he got into the league. Now, I'm not saying he's the accurate passer that Russ is, because Russ still can throw the deep ball. But I think the mistake that the Bears made is that, you know, everybody knew the likelihood of them passing on Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud in back-to-back drafts were not going to happen. I would have traded Justin Fields at the trade deadline because that's when he had the most value, Mel. I know you got to get rid of him. Every 3 to 4 years, they come out with a new body style on a car. Okay, I already know you done spent $10 million on this car. This new body. You getting rid of the old body style. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to give you fair market value, Mel, on something I know you've got to get rid of. So why would any other 31 other teams, give them fair market value for Justin Fields when I know you got to get rid of him? I know you're not going to keep him there to have Caleb Williams looking over his shoulder. You know that. I know that.
Who cares?
I get what happened back in 89.
Who cares, Shannon? I don't care. I don't buy into this looking over his shoulder. Who cares? That's the bottom line. You don't have a quarterback there to develop the other quarterback. It's the coach's job to develop quarterbacks, not the backup quarterback's job or the other quarterback's job to mentor that guy or get along with that guy. I don't know if Montana and Young were getting along too great back in the day. I'm sure Aikman and Walsh, when Aikman was there and Walsh was brought because that was Jimmy Johnson's guy at Miami, right? I don't think that went over very well. It worked out where Troy was the guy and they traded Walsh. Why do we worry about the feelings of a young quarterback? Too bad. Deal with it.
You bet. I tell you what, Mayo, you better care because you're going to have to pay that guy $250 million in 3.5 to 4 years. You better care if he's looking over his shoulder because you're about to have to drop a bag for $300 million.
It's going to play out long before that. It'll play out in 2024, but let it play out because you got nothing for Justin. So if Justin isn't the guy, who cares? You gave him away. You gifted him to the Pittsburgh Steelers for nothing.
Well, you held on to it thinking you could get more. But well, we don't know who we're going to take. Everybody knew you were going to take Caleb Williams.
Then keep him. Once that happens, Shannon, then keep him. Keep him.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I'm about to do? I'm about to call Seth Markman and tell him, we need these two. These two need to be on the draft together because that was must-see TV.
Hey, I gave Shannon a high grade when he came out. He's arguing with me before the show. I gave him a high grade. Gave him a late third, early fourth round grade, and he's yelling at me.
Let me look at this.
There we go. Shannon Sharpe, graded as the 87th best player in the draft. Late third, early fourth round grade. Mocked to the Atlanta Falcons in the fourth round, 83rd overall. Eventually drafted 192nd overall. It's true, Shannon. He gave you a higher grade.
But Stephen A., the thing is, what I tell guys coming out, it's not how high you go, it's where you go. Me going to Atlanta would not have panned out like it did in Denver because Denver was one of the three teams that had the H-back position along with the Washington, you know, the derogatory term, and the San Diego Chargers at the time. So I got drafted to one of the three teams that had an H-back position. It worked out where it was supposed to, the way it was supposed to work out.
Clearly it did. Mel, you're the best. Epic segment. I just need a yes or no answer before producers kill me. Should the Giants draft a quarterback?
Yes.
I'm 50-50 on that. I can see doing the quarterback with J.J. if he's there. I can see taking the receiver Neighbors or Odunze. So I'm not going to argue the point either way. I think they're good either way.
That is the third time you have asked a question about the Giants.
No, I didn't.
No one cares but you.
That's a lie.
Nobody's thinking about that right now.
I asked about Justin Fields.
I was at a restaurant last night. Folks rolled up in there celebrating at Saquon's in Philadelphia. Nobody cares about the Giants right now.
This is the first time I mentioned it.
Oh, my God. That is not true.
Justin Fields. And I asked about Michael Penix Jr.
We know I care about me. So how about Daniel Jones? How about the Giants?
First of all, you're the New Yorker.
Please, we don't care about the Giants. We don't care. They're not going anywhere this year, Molly. Yeah. They're not.
I know. I hope your Knicks get really healthy.
You know?
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the communication, is what it is. It was behind closed doors. I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. It just felt like it was time from, the things that transpired and, wanted to get a chance to go somewhere else and continue to grow my career. And, I'm excited to be here. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason. And, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Believe that as well, Kenny. That was just newly acquired Eagles quarterback Kenny Pickett reflecting on how he handled his departure from the Steelers after two seasons. Shannon, what do you think about what he had to say?
Unfortunately, his play wasn't behind closed doors, but that way we wouldn't see how bad he'd been. The fans had started picketing, and it was because of Kenny Pickett. I don't know what these young guys, man, they just think they should just be gifted a position and they should be entrenched in that position no matter how bad they play. Stephen A, he was awful. I don't know what he didn't see. I understand he's from Pittsburgh, but his play didn't warrant him being the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh in 24 and beyond.
I don't know if that's true, because who else did they have? Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph? I mean, by default. Here's my thing about Kenny Pickett. And listen, I wish him well. Obviously, yards per game, pass yards per game, 30th out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks, just 179 yards. Touchdown percentage, just 1.8%, dead last in the National Football League. Obviously, Matt Canada was his offensive coordinator, so some people point to that. Here's my biggest issue with the whole Kenny Pickett thing. If the University of Pittsburgh didn't practice at the same facilities as the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't know if the Steelers would have even known who he was. I think that he was drafted by the Steelers because he was a home product, and obviously nostalgia kicked in and people were talking about that would have been the place to go. Me personally, I never liked the idea that the Steelers picked him, but it's not like I think he has no potential or anything like that. There's a lot of things that were going wrong in Pittsburgh. We've seen that evidenced by the changes that they've made, but he certainly didn't help himself. You're right about that, Shannon.
I don't know where you're from, Stephen A, but that homegrown ain't that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got to go outside if you want to. You and I know what I'm talking about. If you want the good, but the homegrown, we leave that alone. We go across the. You know what I'm saying?
But
Stephen A, I'm not saying, okay, yeah, I still think Mason Rudolph played well. Mason Rudolph came in there and played better than what Kenny Pickett did. But I'm just saying, he's talking like they wronged him. Like he should have been the quarterback in 24. Regardless who's coming in, it's hard for me to see a scenario that somebody's coming into Pittsburgh in 24 will be worse than Kenny Pickett.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.